business.
Well, that was quick. 30 minutes to nine. Good morning.
Good morning.
You're doing a 4-day week again this week, are you?
No, I'm 7 day a week. You know, there's no
7 days a week.
Yeah.
So what kind of
stop?
What kind of work do you do at the weekends then, apart from watching golf and decorating the Christmas tree?
Analysing, modelling.
Modelling.
More academic modelling than physical
clothing modelling. Is that for high and mighty? Is it?
It's moving that way in lockdown, I can tell you.
Really? Yes, I can sympathise with that. All right, not a bad day for the markets yesterday. Wall Street was up, but London down.
Yeah, US stocks rebounded yesterday. Investors taking comfort, I guess, in the vaccine rollout. The FDA expected to approve Moderna's vaccine. We've seen progress, hopefully, on US stimulus talks. The S&P 500 bouncing back from a four-day slide. Hopes that a bipartisan group of lawmakers will indeed finally get traction on this $900 billion pandemic relief package before the end of the year. Brexit, of course, continues to play out. Pound rising, credit markets strengthening. Brexit negotiators push to reach a final trade agreement before the end of the year. Expectation is that would need to come probably end of this week, maybe beginning of next week, to give the parliaments time to ratify the legislation. S&P 500 is up 1.3%, Nasdaq was up 1.25%. Should filter through to a stronger start on the European bourses this morning. We're calling FTSE up 28 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 31 points. CAC 1 in Paris up 24 points.
Gosh, isn't it weird to see Republicans and Democrats agreeing on something? Is this the shape of things to come? Is it a new era of bipartisan cooperation?
Well, we'll have to wait to see, of course, what happens in Georgia with that Senate runoff that could sway, of course, the balance of power and determine how much ability the new Biden administration has to push ahead with its legislative agenda. So still all to play for, actually, from a political perspective, but should be solved at the beginning of January. But yeah, there is hopes on both sides. I think, to be honest, both sides want a stimulus package. There's been disagreements over the scale of that package and how it should be targeted. But certainly it's a question of when, not if, but still a question about how much and who gets it.
Not much news on the Brexit front this morning. Is that what you were up to yesterday? Was it some getting over there, banging a few heads together?
Trying to solve it. There's lots of sort of different scenarios apparently that could play out. Getting a deal before this year, a late deal which would see Parliament sitting between Christmas and New Year. Perhaps even the idea we could have a no deal sort of Brexit in the early months of next year, and then the negotiations start again and we can reach agreement. I mean, the truth is, of course, that could well be the case. It doesn't mean that if we don't get agreement by the end of this year, there's no chance of a future trade agreement. There's every ability to do that, but of course that would be incredibly disruptive for businesses.
Well, this is it. I mean, the negotiations really are going to last for years because there's always going to be something that each side wants to accomplish. I mean, for example, as you said, 80% of the UK economy is made up from services, and there's no way into the single market for UK services outside this and outside the customs union. So, you know, in a couple of years' time, they might just say, well, yeah, you know, we'd really like our services to be available in Europe again. And they'll say, single market customs union.
There has been an element of that, although you could argue that many, certainly larger companies have been able to make sure they can continue to service those clients by setting up suitable offices and subsidiaries, etc., in regions that would allow them to continue to operate within the single market.
But that means jobs go from the UK and into Europe.
Yep, very true, very true. Can't argue against that.
Good. Right, so back to the States, Federal Reserve interest rate decision time, but nothing's going to change, is it, this month?
I don't think so. Two things probably to watch out for is the new economic projections and what they do with the asset purchase program. You remember back in August, the Fed adopted its new flexible average inflation targeting framework. Then in September, the central bank transposed those principles into its forward rate guidance. The FOMC, you could argue, is somewhat settled into a more wait and see mode as it monitors the outlook and assesses the need for additional policy support. I think given the outlook, the policy rate is widely expected to be on hold all the way perhaps through 2023, the FOMC having pledged to keep rates on hold till the shortfall from full employment has been eliminated and inflation has surpassed the 2% long-run target, is on course for a moderate overshoot. In November, the minutes indicated there's a consensus within the committee to make changes to the forward guidance regarding the path of asset purchases, but no appetite for altering the monthly pace or indeed the composition of purchases at this stage. But watch out, as I say, for modest changes to the summary of economic projections to allow for more discussion around the balance of risk to the outlook.
Do you think your friend Jay Powell will stay in charge of the Federal Reserve in a Biden administration?
You would imagine so. You'd imagine so. They'd want some sort of continuity there. And of course, with Janet Yellen going to become Treasury Secretary, there's going to be a much more coordinated approach. You love that, don't you? I don't know where that comes from. A much more coordinated approach between the two main bodies there, which would be good, for markets and for policymakers.
Yeah, I mean, he's done pretty well, I think. I mean, he was Donald Trump's choice to replace, was it Ben Bernanke?
Yes.
Yeah, he's behind you, etc. But he's been sort of quietly authoritative and has battered away sort of Donald Trump's sort of demands for zero interest rates and the rest of it. So, yeah, he's had a difficult job.
It hasn't been an easy time to be Fed Chair. There's no doubt about that. You probably have to look a long way back in history to find a point where you've seen such a relationship between the President and the Chair of the Federal Reserve. And there have been some sticky moments. There's been threats of him, you know, being forced out, etc. But as you say, managed to weather that storm, and markets would, I think, appreciate some element of continuity at this difficult time.
And coronavirus lockdowns have been hitting clothing retailers, not Primark by the looks of it, but some of the other ones.
Yeah, H&M and Zara owner Inditex have both reported that the improvement in sales has stalled during the course of the autumn as the latest round of COVID-19 lockdowns led consumers to curb spending on clothes. If you look from late October through November, H&M sales were down 22% year on year. Inditex reported revenue declined 19% in November, 13% in the first 10 days of December. Inditex said 8% of its stores are temporarily closed, with an additional 10% on the weekends. Of course, many stores are also facing restrictions on things like capacity and opening hours as well. H&M said they've permanently closed 250 stores and will be forced to shutter all of its stores in Germany and the Netherlands. If you look at the Dutch figures, they really are quite disturbing, it has to be said. Retailers have reduced stock levels. They've ramped up their e-commerce efforts in an effort to offset the weakness. H&M shares down 3% on the update. Inditex were down 2% yesterday.
So you're staying in tier two, you're going up to tier three?
We're staying in tier two, fortunately.
Well, the pub's still open then.
Pub's still opening, although my daughter is self-isolating at the moment because someone in her class has had a positive COVID test. So that takes us through the next few days, it has to be said. So we wait to see.
Yeah, well, I mean, Dominic Raab wouldn't be put up with tier three. He'll want to go out for a quick pint, won't he, over Christmas? So, you know.
He'll want to be in the old plough, I'm sure. He'll want to go to the Ivy for a little bit of lunch, no doubt.
Just very quickly back on Brexit. I mean, how long do you think it might be? I mean, well, how long's a piece of string? But I mean, once the dust has settled, you know, give it a year or two before EEA is looked at again, something like that.
Before what, sorry, happens?
EEA, European Economic Area.
What, that we start talking about
interacting
with them again?
You know, it's no doubt that the size of the UK economy is going to shrink whether there's a deal or a no deal.
Yeah, if you listen to the Office of Budget Responsibility, they say with a no-deal scenario, the near-term hit to the UK economy could be 2%. And it comes at a difficult time for UK economy, already, of course, set to contract at its most aggressive level, somewhere around 11% in 300 years. So add some Brexit uncertainty into that, which weighs on business confidence and proves very disruptive. And actually, even with a deal, you should remember it's going to be disruptive. Lots of changes to broader procedures, to certifications, to importation rules and exportation exports. So all of that is certainly going to play out and cause havoc across UK companies. And many of them are simply not prepared for it. And it's going to come as a shock as we move towards that 1st of January deadline point.
270 million customs declarations a year.
Wow.
you know, cut the red tape, you know, Brussels bureaucrats, Brussels Euro red tape, you know, let's get free, let's take our sovereignty back.
Yes, but we'll be doing big deals with the likes of Australia and New Zealand and Tonga and some fast-growing parts of the world.
Right, foreign exchanges, please.
Pound actually been looking a little bit stronger in the past 24 hours. Pound against dollar 134.5. Euro dollar coming in at 121. Going to get 1 euro 10.5 cents for your British pound this morning.
No deal is better than the bad deal.
Well, there's the Australian deal, which is also a no deal. So there's a depends how it's phrased, of course.
Thank you very much. Speak to you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
Hank Potts and Barclays.